Coming to you live from the National Studios in Broadcasting House, I am George Asikri with this edition of Behind the News, where we bring you latest updates and detailed analysis of current happenings in Ghana. Tonight, minority in Parliament kick against plans to raise a 15-year period bond to retire the $2.4 billion energy sector debt. What are they afraid of? We'll find out. Textiles, Garment and Leather Workers Union plans to demonstrate against the Ministry of Trade and Industry and also picket the ministry next week. What do they want from the ministry? We hear from them. And moves by government to make the Ghanaian economy self-dependent through the tourism and creative art industry. What is the role of the ordinary person in this laudable exercise? We hear more on this tonight. Stay tuned for the next 1 hour as we bring you details of all these stories on our show. Our text line is 0266-026-941. Welcome back. It's Behind the News. We live on Radio Ghana and live on all our 16 FM stations across the country to our very first story. The Ministry of Tourism, Culture and Creative Art has begun moves to make the local economy self-sustaining by imbuing in Ghanaians the spirit of patriotism and nationalism. Dubbed See Ghana, Eat Ghana, Wear Ghana and Feel Ghana, the ministry intends making Ghanaians appreciate what they have and are capable of doing using the huge tourism potentials with mixed products such as culture, ecotourism, heritage, beaches and conference tourism. Behind the News explores this development tonight, and joining us on the line is the Minister responsible for Tourism, Culture and Creative Arts, Catherine Afeku. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, and a very big good evening to all your listeners.
And what informs this decision to make everything Ghana, Ghana?
First of all, I want to say thank you for having us on your show. I think it's because we are Ghanaians. It is a passion and a sense of patriotism. And it's also stemming from inspiration from His Excellency, the President, Nana Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo, on his inauguration, the speech he gave. It inspired the sense of belonging, being a Ghanaian and being a proud African at that level. So we felt strongly that we could reignite that sense of patriotism through what we eat, what we wear, and our scenic beauty in the country. That's where it comes from.
So what form is it going to take?
It's already started. You know, we have already toured some of the regions. We have a lot of tourism potential, but it comes alongside challenges. The first and glaring one is sanitation. So as you tour the natural sites that God has given us, we also see opportunities in the challenges. If we want Ghanaians to go and visit their own country, we have to create enabling environments. If Ghanaians support domestic tourism, it means by extension we can create jobs because more hotels will be built, Ghanaian food will be patronized, and Ghanaian artifacts and our natural, beautiful cloth will be worn. Imagine building hotels across the 10 regions and using the fabric for your furniture. That's jobs right there for a fashion industry. So it is just something that's ingrained in our sense of patriotism. It can work with your support by visiting a site within the country instead of traveling outside. The same money can be spent within the country to support domestic tourism.
Let's look at Wear Ghana. I've seen that since the President Nana Addo took over, he's been quite consistent with wearing Ghanaian attire. I think the Minister for Trade and Industry is doing the same. A few others are doing that. How do you see that move, looking at the fact that the younger ones are interested in already made things, most of which are imported?
Well, I beg to differ. I would like to say that the younger ones are actually very trendy and following the steps that was initiated a while back under President Kufuor's government. The former Minister of Trade, Mr. Alan Tremantin, started the Friday Wear. And fast forward now, the President of the Republic is actually symbolizing the Wear Ghana campaign. And it's so exciting because you see young, dynamic corporate Ghana wearing it on a regular basis, very fashionable, tasteful, and it looks very, very, very decent and good. So the younger generation, actually, based on our research, because we are in the entertainment industry as well, are actually more excited and coming up with very interesting designs to make our fabric more trendy, fashionable, and wearable. But you can see, you just made the comment, without you even acknowledging it, everybody feels it. It's trending on social media. The president is the face of the Wear Ghana campaign. He believes in Ghana and he's wearing it. So you could join that campaign and it will make a seamstress in a small town expand her business because you will buy a fabric and she will sew. By extension, we are promoting the fashion industry and deepening Made in Ghana. So I'm very excited about this and his leadership in it.
Interestingly, I have started following the president, but because it is raining, I have to put on suit. And I'm wondering in whether periods like this, those who are faithful to the Wear Ghana campaign, what alternative will be there for them?
The same thing. Have you seen the kente jacket that actually looks like a coat that you can use during the winter? I actually saw someone wearing that in Holland. It's a Ghanaian kente fabric lined inside, and it is a jacket. So we have the creative people. They can do it. So when it's rainy and it's windy, yes, you can wear the fabric. It's not every day because it's really made for the sunny environment. But you have designers. I have a jacket that I wore in a colder environment, but it's made in Ghana. And I'm not trying to promote anybody, but I bought that from Christy Brown. And it's a Ghanaian. And she had it lined that I could wear in a wintry environment. And I was okay. I can show you the pictures. So it is possible. All we have to do is believe in our own capabilities that, yes, we can do this. Take Ghana to the next level. Wear Ghana. See Ghana. And eat Ghanaian food. I wish I had invited you. You would have seen Tuo Zafi with the green as a hors d'oeuvre. And, you know, it's so palatable. Just plantain with a garden egg stew in smaller palettes. It makes you want to eat Ghanaian food. It's the packaging. And we have Ghanaians who are doing that. We need to promote them.
My producers are excited when you mention Ghanaian food, and I can see them demonstrating kunkunte and those things. But
I think some of your people came for the lunch, and they were amazed that you can actually have kose and have kakro. And you know, Bordiam Pistier with and Nyatwa, but it was served to the ambassadors from different varied countries, European, Latin America, and they were super excited. You can imagine those of us who are indigent, this is what we ate growing up all day, but it was just not packaged like that. And when you see it, it makes you proud to be a Ghanaian. It is possible.
Many people appreciate that, but it appears that when people get into the country and they even want to get this, they wouldn't have access to it in the first place. Because most of the hotels that they will visit first do not provide these things. What has been the level of collaboration with those industries?
And that is the call we're doing. I have met the stakeholders. We have GATOF, which is the Ghana Federation of Hotels. The president is very active in the ministry and our strategic thinking and planning. We've met stakeholders. And the good news is the hoteliers are willing to serve Ghanaian food. They just don't get enough. If you put an order in for Basel, I met the chefs, the Ghanaian Chefs Association, and they are bemoaning that the quantity of what we produce is not enough. And you know, a hotel industry is a 24/7 business. If a client orders sweet potato, you need to get them sweet potato. But here we have the case of agriculture. We don't produce enough to match their demand. So planting food for jobs will be one of the response to growing food here, packaging it right, so the hospitality industry will get what they want. Basil, a little plant, has to be brought in from another country because we don't produce enough. These are opportunities for young people to get into the agriculture, grow food, and grow it well, package it well for the hotel industry. It has to be done to the standards where they are buying it and knowing that they're getting quality. And it is an opportunity because they don't get enough, so they are forced to buy it outside. So it's not like they don't want to do it. But if you go in and you want to do bangkung in a very nice way, you need somebody who can provide you with the maize, the correct maize, but constant supply. So these are some of the challenges, but I see it as an opportunity to boost agriculture and to support the tourism industry.
Have you contacted those in the entertainment industry? It appears that in our movies, to even woo a lady, you need to go to a restaurant, is the fried rice and those, what I call mortuary chicken. That is what trends.
Yes, that is why we have launched this campaign, my brother, and media partners such as you would help us. You can always sign off with a see Ghana, eat Ghana, wear Ghana, and it will be ingrained. Yes, once we have Ghanaian cuisine restaurants dotted across, and it is here, we are getting them gradually, decent Ghanaian cuisine restaurants are popping up here and there, but we need to do more. So you can take your girl to the Azmeras and the ones at Afikiko where you have the Ghanaian food, but done in style. It is coming. It's a work in progress. I see it as an opportunity for entrepreneurs, the private sector, to go in and offer some of these offerings that the young, trendy will love to patronize. It is simply a gap that can be filled by the private sector. But we can't be naive. There are challenges in the business. We can encourage, we can support. You have to do your homework. And if you want to start a business, just know that the first 2 years will be rough. It is not that rosy. We just need you to have a determined spirit that as a Ghanaian, you are capable of creating a business opportunity for yourself.
I'm sure you can count on Behind the News when it comes to this. But in the past, there have been similar campaigns that have not been too much of a success, especially when it comes to domestic tourism. So how are we going to do this one differently to ensure that you sustain it?
With your support and a spirit of determination, and of course, with the backing of the ministry and its agencies, people come, they do their bit, but we would love to sustain it because we're in a different era. We also have had the experience of unsustained campaigns. There are some things in the pipeline that we can tell you. One of the things that really affects domestic tourism is price of hotels. Prices are so high for the average family to go. So the solution is partnering private sector to build the hotels that is needed. GH Akwaba Hotels will be a chain, by the grace of God, that will be owned by Ghanaians and their foreign partners, dotted across this nation, 50 hotels, 50 tourist destinations, affordable rates, but a Ghanaian chain, franchise. We are talking with AGI, we're talking with private investors. We need to build hotels that are affordable so the average family like you and I can go. That is the step one. Step two is to clean up our beaches.
All right.
To stop open defecation. There is so much we can do once we put our mind to it. And for us, these are the two major things we think we can do to help boost domestic tourism.
Right. We are very grateful for your time on our show, and we wish you and wish all of us the best in this exercise.
See Ghana, eat Ghana, and wear Ghana.
You didn't add drink Ghana. I'm sure the boys will want to hear that.
Feel Ghana. I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Katrina Feku is the Minister responsible for Tourism, Culture and Creative Art. It's Behind the News Live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is the head of the Department of Hospitality and Tourism Management, University of Cape Coast, Professor Kweku Buachi. Good evening, Prof, and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, and thank you for having me.
Prof, you are grateful. How positioned is the tourism industry in Ghana to make an impact in our economy?
Well, that's a broad one. That's a very heavy one. Listening to the Honorable Minister, and I say good evening to her, I would think that we are poised to do that. But there are issues that come up from the discourse. Nevertheless, the potential of Ghana's tourism is never in doubt, not at all.
Somebody will say, from how she's portrayed the whole exercise, it looks quite overambitious. Do you see it like that?
On the contrary, I think it even coming too late in the day, but I'm happy at least something is going on, because it's never too late to make a right turn when you're lost on the road. Because some of us have argued that, you know, tourism needs a certain impetus push, and it also needs a very radical diversification from the existing attraction base. So I'm happy to hear of grandiose plans like having 50 hotels in 50 destinations. I'm happy to hear a program like See Ghana, Wear Ghana, and Ghana. It's great. But I'm sure one of the questions you would ask me, which you've already asked, is about the sustainability. And indeed, you are right to say that there have been countless campaigns and initiatives in the past, and we need possibly more assurances of why this one would be sustainable, not only sustainable, but why it would be wider spread. Why are we concentrating only in Accra, for example? Are there plans to roll it out to other regional capitals? And most importantly, how sustainable and how beneficial is it going to be? Because ultimately, the aim of tourism should be as a vehicle, like you said, for socioeconomic transformation.
Prof, what would be your suggestion to make this exercise a success?
I'm inclined to look towards the policy framework at the very base, you know, at the beginning of all of it, to start it off. How strong is the policy framework? Is this going to be a one-off? Is there a policy in place to roll it out on a sustainable basis? What are the benchmarks we have put in place to ensure that it is actually going down to the people whose lives we're targeting to enhance? How are we making sure that the program is producing, like she said, and creating a new genre of Ghanaian entrepreneurs? So these are all things that we need to really think of, and they are drawing board matters. They are matters that we have to sit on the drawing board. I would presume that these things are there already. I would presume that it's on the drawing board already. But then the question is, how well can we push it out to a logical conclusion? It's a fabulous program. It's beautiful. I commend whoever put it together. It is great. It's refreshing. But again, are we going to talk about it in a year's time and see why did it do it?
What should be the role of the media, especially the foreign one?
Well, the media and with the greatest of respect, shift your question to the local media. And I would say, because the foreign normally taps in what the local says, if my reading of the situation is correct. Now, if that is the case, then we would want to have a local media that is putting tourism on the agenda. And for that reason, I really salute Behind the News for what you are doing. And UPC in general, you've always had this passion for tourism, and it's very impressive. Now, if you could be joined by other media houses to start driving the tourism agenda, start driving it, creating awareness like you're doing all the time, what's going to happen is that policymakers will begin to sit up. Everybody also begins, the people who matter begin to think again and say, look, let's look to tourism and see how best we can enhance our socioeconomic transformation through it. So the media has a major role to play, and I wouldn't put it on the doorstep of the foreign. I would say the local media should show them.
Taste is something difficult to control. So when it comes to Eat Ghana and the consumer being rational might want to go and buy what is cheaper and looks quite attractive. We have a challenge with packaging. Where do we pick it from?
And that is why I alluded to the fact that it's again a drawing board. What is our policy to create a genre or a group of people, a cohort of entrepreneurs who can match international standards without compromising quality? We need to begin to get there. And that's why some of us always want to look at the political economy. What is the policy saying? How are we rolling it out? It's great to have a media fanfare and put all of these things out. But who are we training? Who are we targeting? Whose capacity is being built? How competitive are we going to be? I was happy when I saw, I think, one of our compatriots this week getting an award, you know, from the Queen, and promised to cook wachi for her. The pictures of the wachi I saw were really delicious, and they were international standard. So the point is, can we start getting there through capacity building? And again, that is itself is an offshoot of policy. So it's good to launch it, where, see where it, and all of that. But beyond that, can we start thinking on the drawing board and saying, well, possibly it's been done. I'm not privy to this program, and you know, so possibly it's been done. But then, question is, what do we want to get from this? And how are we going to get there? Who are we going to train? Who are we going to empower? It needs to be possible, for example, for the government to be putting some money, declare tourism as a priority sector of the economy for the next 3 years. I've said it somewhere. Number two, create a high-level tourism coordinating committee at cabinet level that can now superintend and drive the force. Give the Minister of Tourism the force and the clout they need to effect changes at the high structural level, so that it should be possible for a bank, for a hotel operator, to work into a bank. And because tourism is a priority sector, be given a loan and be able to, you know, then create the jobs and invest and do all that we have to do. So in a way, we would then be building ourselves through tourism.
Prof, UCC stands tall when it comes to tourism in this country. In fact, you have that hegemon. What becomes the role of the Department of Hospitality and Tourism Management when it comes to making Ghana self-sustaining and dependent using the tourism sector?
Yes, we are a very young department. Nevertheless, by the grace of God, we have made very, very significant strides over the past 8 years, or if you want 20 years of our existence. We were an offshoot of the geography department, and then we became a full department in 2008. And since then, we've been training PhDs and then MPhil holders. Really, our target, our main academia's primary role is to train manpower for development. That is our primary role. But you realize that over the years, there's been a paradigm shift, and we've been venturing into the commercial bit also. So in our department, for example, we've set up what we call the professional services unit, which takes you directly with the industry players, one-on-one, you know. So we do things. The type of research we do is mainly towards theory.
Oh, okay.
But then now we tailor-making our interventions to build capacity at the industry level also. Another thing we've also done over the past 2 years is to put in place to design a program which we call the Executive Masters in Tourism Management and Hospitality Management, again within the general building capacity. And I'm happy to say we've graduated our first batch. The second batch is almost due with their modules. They'll graduate possibly next year, but we'll finish their coursework in September. So these are two interventions we've fashioned out. Try and help. Otherwise, we are also still engaging with the industry. It interests you to know, for example, today we had a very fruitful meeting with the Central Region Chefs Association, a very, very fruitful meeting with them, you know, on ways in which we could partner each other to enhance standards in the industry.
All right. Prof, we are very grateful for your time on our show tonight.
I'm more grateful for the platform and all of that. And we want to say a big kudos to BTV for the great work you are doing, BBC, for the great work you are doing. Keep on keeping on, and we are sure that we are a partner.
All right. Thank you very much. Professor Kweku Buachi is the head of the Department of Hospitality and Tourism Management, University of Cape Coast, UCC. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana.
It's probing, it's intrusive, yet exciting. Your daily news analysis program, Behind the News, is on Radio Ghana at 8 p.m. sharp, Monday to Friday. Join the crew and be part of all the interesting analysis and hard interviews on your exciting Behind the News.
Textiles, Garment and Leather Workers Union will on next week Wednesday demonstrate against the Ministry of Trade and Industry for inaction against the importation and sale of pirated textiles. The Thursday after the demonstration, members of the union will picket the ministry to let the president know that the ministry is not addressing their plight. Tonight, we delve into this issue, and joining us on the line is General Secretary of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Abraham Kumsen. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Why are you seeking to put pressure on the Ministry of Trade and Industry through your upcoming demonstrating and picketing?
You know, we are not too comfortable, you know, embarking on demonstrations and picketing just for the sake of, you know, making noise or communicating with the general public or even government. See, the problem has to do with the inaction, like you use the correct word.
In fact, I'm only borrowing it from you people. I don't know what you mean by inaction.
The inaction, you know, inaction. If there is inaction, it means that we have a static sort of performance. If somebody is not performing and is fixed at one place, that's what happens. You see, the problem with the sector, it is not today. We all agree. It started in the 80s. But we'll be able to, you know, battle government that have come and gone and returned, and we still continue to, you know, pursue it. Just because we are losing workers in the first place. And two, the economy too is also suffering.
How are you losing workers and how is the economy suffering?
One, the economy is suffering because the revenue that should come into the kitty for government to use for our development is not coming because people are doing everything possible to destroy the local manufacturing industry.
Who are those people?
No, traders. For instance, limiting myself to the textile industry. Textiles manufactured here create employment. And in the 70s, the textiles alone, industry alone, used to employ over 25,000 workers in this country, which accounted for 27% of the total workforce of the manufacturing industry in this country. Now, as we speak now, the workers left in this sector, I can count about 1,800 left. And the companies, remaining companies are ETP, Printex, and then Akosomo Textiles Limited, ATL.
So what do you want government to do?
No, you see, we have been able to identify the problem. And the problem is the counterfeiting of our design. Smuggling. People who import do not even use the approved entry point. Even if it is coming through Aflao, we have the border, security there, but they don't use, most of the time, they don't use the main entry point. They prefer using the bushes and the rivers, you know, bordering the boundary. And again, the dumping aspect is another issue. Because if somebody here, a manufacturer here, pays, you know, utility, they employ workers, pay them social security, and all that. This accounts for the cost of production. And we have worked this, and it's about 40%, this taxes, is about 40% of the total cost of production.
So you want taxes reduced for you?
No, if it is reduced, that's okay. But the major problem is about those who smuggle. And they don't just smuggle. They smuggle our designs here, send them over there to be printed at far, far, far cheaper cost, and bring them here. And when they are even bringing them, they do not use the approved entry points like the harbor and the airport, where they will make to pay appropriate taxes for the country. They don't do that. And so our concern is to, you know, get a mechanism that will be able to monitor and check those who are, you know, engaged in such illegal activity. And that's why some time passed, about 7 years ago, we had this task force, you know, established by the Minister of Trade and Industry. And again, we had also a vetting committee, which, you know, worked, you know, hand in hand with the task force to make sure that these products that come into this country have been, you know, properly vetted, and those who do not, you know, use this facility, they will be, you know, arrested. That's why sometimes you see the task force members in the market, in the warehouses, you know, dealing with people who are engaged in such illegal activity.
But there are laws in the country. So if, for instance, you should come and steal my design, if I'm duly or if I've duly registered that, you can use the laws to address that without necessarily going to demonstrate or picket.
No, you see, the government has a responsibility to help the industry to survive. You see, because, for instance, if, George, you decided to establish a company, even not even you, but let's say that this one district, one factory thing, what are they going to produce? If they are going to produce canned tomatoes or sugar, or, you know, they are going to process our local, you know, fruits, then the government that has the authority to put in measures that will protect this factory. You don't do that. And you allow, let's say, tomato paste. Sometimes they may not be even, genuine tomato. They may be even some chemical tomato that they will bring in. You allow them to bring this product here into this country.
But Mr. Kumsin, you did say that this problem started long ago, and there's a new administration in place less than a year. What has been your collaboration with the new administration?
Oh, we've been engaging them, but you see, the commitment has not been displayed by the, I'm not saying government, but we have the Minister of Trade and Industry, because the demonstration, as I'm saying, is to let the president himself know that his ministry, whether it is performing or not, he will know. Because we have had series of meetings at the Ministry of Trade, and as we speak now, nothing concrete. They will promise, oh, we're going to do this. The last commitment they made was the 30th of June, that they claimed they were going to come out with policy guidelines that will regulate the importation and sale of these products. And the time has passed. Even before then, we were having meetings, minutes even for such discussions. It has not been possible for us even to get to those minutes.
You know, demonstrating will not solve the problem. What do you suggest should be the way out?
Why do you say demonstration will not? VAT. When VAT was going to be introduced, the VAT was VAT brought about just by the mere fact that people, you know, talked about it. There were a series of demonstrations.
Okay.
We got the VAT in place. And there have been series of, you see, don't think that it is me as an individual. It is a trade union that is playing its role as a social partner who is helping for good governance. It's not about me going to demonstrate, but these are some of the you know, roles that we can play to help, you know, people in government to govern well.
That's all right.
That we are going to, you know, embarrass anybody. We are going to. It is part of strategies to apply to get people to sit up and work. Because Why is the president, baby? You may not even know what is happening right now.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Abraham Kumsin is General Secretary of the Ghana Federation of Labour. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry, Kingsley Carlos Ahenkura. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. If you listen to Mr. Abraham, what will be your initial reaction? He says the ministry has not been proactive.
Well, let me say a good evening to your listeners, and thank you for giving me the opportunity. You have done very well. You've asked those pertinent questions like that. Not that he gave straight answers, but he missed the point. I am very disappointed, first and foremost, with this gentleman out there. But, he says he's come to the ministry several times. We've been in the office, that ministry, for less than 4 months. I mean, as far as I am concerned. And for me, he has come to my office only once, just one time, when I myself invited him to come for me to give him what policy guidelines we, the people of the Minister of Trade, have decided to back upon to solve this problem. Now, we gave him timelines and said latest by the end of June, we will have finished stakeholder consultations and rule out what policies we are bringing out. Now, unfortunately, you know how many holidays we had in June. Of course, we have also our work to do and traveling and so on and so forth. So, we are in the process. I think just maybe probably by Friday or so, we are meeting the manufacturers themselves, the owners of textile companies themselves, to let them understand what the government is going to do in addition to the stimulus package, which is supposed to prop them up from wherever they are to get people working. Now, this gentleman, for some reason, just go out and start, you know, like lambasting and saying all sort of undesirable things about the ministry. When in actual fact, I have sat down with you in my office and I've told you what I wanted to do, and you applauded my idea and say it was the best. All I can see here is just he just wants us to just roll out a task force for them to go out there and do what they did in the previous government. When I said you did very well with your questions, you did marvelously well, because you said this problem 7 years ago, it was there. That's when they set up their whatever tax bill. They've not been able to resolve the issue. They've not been able to resolve the problem. Why do you still want to have tax forces going amok in the market and, you know, causing that kind of situation whereby people will lose their lives? People will lose their capital. People will lose so much.
So is there a way you can engage them before Friday? The demonstration is intended to take place on Wednesday.
No, well, he said he's not going to come. We had a discourse this afternoon with another radio station, and an invitation was thrown to him, and he refused. So let him go ahead and do what he wants. I mean, it's up to him. It is right. If he thinks that doing that would bring back the glory old days where people would not see any piracy on the contributing, so be it. We, the government of MPP, we are prepared to resolve this problem. We resolve it very sensibly. We're not going to allow anybody to push us. We're not going to allow anybody to tell us what to do. We know what we want to do. If he could have solved the problem, he himself would have solved it 7 years ago, when he had the opportunity to be on a tax force, which went out there. And you see, when you interview people like this, I want you as a Ghanaian to also go to the market and interview the women who are the who are supposed to be the cause of these situations. Yeah. Now, they claim that when these tax forces come to the market, even crops that don't belong to, designs which don't belong to the textile company, they collect, sometimes some of them even say they lose money. And some people have even lost their lives out of it. And they have sworn, when we met these people, we've gone to Kumasi to meet club sellers, we've gone to Makola to meet club sellers, we're going to go to other places, Takoradi and so on. So it's not a one-day thing. And they are claiming that if we allow anybody to come to the market, whether police or army, they will die in the market. We want that to happen on our hands. We will never allow that to happen. But we'll find ways and means to restore hope in these companies. We'll find ways and means to make the textile and garment companies working again. We'll find ways and means to make our brothers who are about to lose their jobs go back to work. And we'll allow anybody to bully us.
Right.
One thing that he is actually for peace, then tell him that what he's going about doing is wrong. He has done this for how many years, and what has he been able to achieve in terms of solving this problem? He's not be able to solve it. And so, therefore, we are pleading with everybody, all and sundry, not to follow this kind of ideology. It is bad. It will rather kill your initiative, and you might not get anything out of it.
All right. On a quite lighter note, the president and most of you have been wearing African prints. Let me say Ghanaian prints. What's the rationale behind that?
Well, as far as we are concerned, as a minister, it is important for us to showcase to the whole world that what is good can also be found here in Ghana or made in Ghana. Indeed, if you go to our website, we have a Trade Ghana website portal, you see a lot of made of Ghana in Ghana displayed there. That people could go there and wow. We are improving or enhancing our domestic trade. We establish that if you wear a suit with a tie and everything, will be just advertising for companies outside. Let's say your shirt comes from India, your suit comes from Italy, your suit comes from Spain, your watch comes from Switzerland. Everything about you is the clothes from outside. Compared to somebody who has worn an African print dress here, which was sewn by a tailor here in Ghana. Just imagine how this money would circulate within our circles and let it work as if nothing from outside matters. That is what we are trying to display. Today you see my president always an African friend. It's not because he cannot afford a suit. It's not because he doesn't look good in a suit. But it's because he wants to give prominence and reason for people to believe that. If you wear an African print dress here in Ghana, you have given job to a tailor here in Ghana. You have given job to a market seller who sells crops in Ghana. And that is what we tend to do. And that by the by, what we are even trying to do for the textile company, which probably he didn't mention and he knows very well, is to give them a stimulus package.
And what would that constitute?
The stimulus will constitute a loan with less interest than you have gotten from the bank. You know, the major problem with these textile companies is the competition that they face with the foreign company, with the Chinese manufacturers. Now, what happens is that China is given a loan to these companies, let's say 2% or even less. We are given loans for, let's say, about 35%, 30%. So immediately, even before we say jack, our companies here are on a losing end. So therefore, if the government can look for loans, which interest will not be as much as they would have gotten through the bank, and it's quite subsidized, then it gives them that prominence, it gives them that impetus right. To also stand on their feet and be able to compete, you know, with a club that is going to come in here.
All right.
So that is where this government wants to start from. Once we're able to give them that grounding, then now we'll tackle the problem itself on the ground and let the women feel that going out there to even buy and bring it into Ghana, you are stifling your own husband or your brother of what to do here in Ghana.
Okay.
These are some of the things that we are doing. I don't see why anybody would think that we are not doing anything and just go amok with work and stand up.
We want to thank you very much for your time on our program tonight. We wish you all the best, sir.
Bless you.
Kingsley Carlos Ahenkra is Deputy Minister of Trade and Industry. It's Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana. And moving on to other stories. The minority in Parliament has described as shocking plans by government to spread the repayment of some debts in the energy sector over a 15-year period through an energy sector bond. In a news conference today, the minority raised issues with the whole exercise, arguing that the 15-year period is too much and that the NDC government had planned to use a lesser time period for this. And they've also argued that it's a foreign issue and ought to go through parliament and many other issues. Joining us on the line is the Member of Parliament for North Tong. He is also the ranking member, the Foreign Affairs Committee of Parliament, Samuel Okudjetu Ablakwa. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Hi, good evening.
What exactly is your problem with the intention to go for a bond to retire the energy sector levy, which you created?
Well, thank you very much. And let me begin by extending a very good evening to our distinguished listeners. You are right that the NDC government did lead the passage of the Energy Sector Levy Act 2015. 899. A careful reading of this act, Act 899, will reveal that the NDC intended for this energy sector levy to be a short-term instrument. We indicated that this energy sector levy Act will not go beyond a five-year period, by which time the analysis that we did and the agreement that we signed with the energy sector SOEs and the banks, within 3 to 5 years, the financial understanding we all had was that all of these indebtedness would have been cleared. Remember that it was because the energy sector SOEs, i.e. Gridco, DRA, ECG, we were heavily indebted to them. They were debt distressed. And at the rate at which they had exposed the banks, it had become clear that we could not continue on that trajectory. And so there was a need to make an intervention, come up with an arrangement which will allow for a quicker way of paying the debt so that you achieve a number of things. First, you honor your obligations to the banks so that the Ghanaian banks will not collapse. And then you also achieve a healthy energy sector SOE so that ECG, VRA, Gridco will be back on the sound footing. So it was a brilliant financial idea that the then finance minister, Honorable Seth Emmanuel Tepe, spearheaded, and he achieved the buy-in of all the stakeholders. We came to Parliament and explained that to Parliament. There were sunset clauses in the bill, which was clear that this was not an energy sector levy that was to assume a permanent creation or to go beyond 5 years. And remember that despite all of these good intentions at the time, the MPP then in opposition opposed this arrangement. They said that we were imposing a burden on the taxpayer. They described the energy sector levy as a nuisance tax. And the then spokesperson on energy who was advising the candidate, His Excellency Nana Dankwa Akufo-Addo, now Minister of Energy, the Honorable Bwachie Jaku, stated publicly that if the MPP won the election, they will repeal the energy sector levies. To our shock, they are not repealing, they are not maintaining the original plan, which was for this ESLA, the Energy Sector Levy Act, to last for a period of 3 years, not exceeding 5 years. They are not doing any of these two. They are not repealing. They are not maintaining the original arrangement. They are rather seeking to extend it. What you had described as a nuisance tax, as a tax that imposes a burden on Ghanaians, you are seeking to extend it for 15 years. Now, we are saying that the financial analysis which we did, which meant that within a period of 3 to 5 years, we could amortize all the indebtedness to the SOE. That financial analysis still holds. And so there is no need raise another 15-year bond. And we asked at our press conference today that what is really this fixation with bonds? Bonds. What is the MPP's interest in this bonds business? And they will not even go short term. It's always 15 years. Why do you want to tie the hands of the people of this country, tie the hands of four governments in the future and four parliaments? Because 15 years, we are talking approximately four different governments, because necessarily in 2020, the tenure of President Akufo-Addo, so far as his first term is concerned, will be up. And so he will have to be seeking re-election. We do know that Ghana, we operate a four-year.
Okay.
So our point is that we are serving clear notice to the market that the NDC government, we believe that there is no need to extend the energy sector level beyond the 5 years. And upon assumption of office, God willing, on the 7th of January 2021, if the majority does not listen to us and they use their numbers to pass this, we will review it and make sure that we cancel this arrangement.
All right. I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. Samuel Okudjetua-Blackwa is Member of Parliament for North Tong and a ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee of Parliament. Also joining us on the line is Deputy Minister for Information, Perry Okudjetu. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening and good evening to your listeners.
Can you confirm to us intentions by government to go for a 15-year bond to retire the energy sector levy?
Well, thank you very much. The issue is that government has met a debt of about over $2 billion in the energy sector. What we are saddled with is that for the last 8 years, the recklessness of the Mills Mahama administration have plunged this country into darkness. Investment in the energy sector have been fraught with a lot of decisions that were not prudent. Investments in the sector, pricing of energy contracts, car power, Ameri, deals that could have cost us $200, $300 million, cost us $1 billion. And therefore, we sank a lot of our resource into what they termed emergency power plants, not permanent power plants, but emergency power plants. The cost of these plants did not put or take into consideration the tenure of John Dramani Mahama. I believe that Ameri, Car Power, and all these other plants that were paying a tooth and a nail for as a people did not truncate in 2016 when John Mahama lost the election. So it is, however, saddening that Mr. Blackwa thinks that they saddle us with a situation where the energy sector is riddled with debt, and in trying to discuss solutions that will move Ghana away from the problems that they have created, they think that they can throw sand and confuse the population and throw in a lot of propaganda to confuse the population.
But is it a case that government is going for a bond?
What it is that government is discussing solutions to the problem. And one of the solutions on the table being discussed is coming up with some financial instrument that will free government hand from the debt that we are riddled with, so that we can have a free hand and make better investments at a cost that is reasonable to the people of Ghana. That will help us solve the real problems in the energy sector. These are things that are still under discussion.
Oh, okay.
I think the NDC is jumping the gun. They should wait. When government takes a final decision and the decision is brought to parliament, they have representatives and like Mr. Blakwa himself is a representative of the people in parliament. And therefore, they should wait for these things to be brought to parliament.
Okay.
If it is a 15-year bond or it's a 4-year bond, it will be brought to parliament and they will get the opportunity to discuss it.
All right.
One thing that we should note is that even if government decides to go for a 15-year bond, it does not mean that it doesn't mean if you decide to float a financial instrument that takes a certain number of years, it doesn't mean that the financial instrument you are floating places a burden on the population. What it rather does is to spread the cost of the financial instrument over a certain number of years so that the population does not feel it.
All right. For want of time, I want to thank you very much for your time on this program. We are very grateful, Sam. Perry Okudjatu is Deputy Minister for Information. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Also on the line is a lecturer at the Department of Finance, University of Ghana Business School, Dr. Lord Mensah. Doc, good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, good evening, sir, and good evening to our listeners. I'm a senior lecturer.
Thanks for the correction. Sir, the explanation from the Deputy Information Minister is giving out the indication that these are just plans that government is considering. Granted, government decides to go for a 15-year energy sector bond. What difference will it make from the current one, which we are told is supposed to last for some 4 years and the debt will be retired?
Yeah, normally, if you look at debt issues, we cannot dissociate the characteristics of the debt from its, you know, time span. So if you look at 4 years and then you look at 15 years, obviously the time to maturity will build up into the interest that is being paid on those kind of debt. So if you look at the energy sector as it stands now, we need to look at it from the long term. We shouldn't look at it from the short term. So possibly in 4 years' time, you are retiring a bond. You are likely to go to the market to go and see another interest rate. If perhaps, you see, all these things that we are talking about is basically on if, you know, condition, because this has not been realized. At the end of the day, it's now that the government is preparing the grounds for that decision. Now, if it happens that we're going for 15-year bond, if the bond is a short term, you are likely to be pressed, you are likely to go on the market after the 4 years and then issue another bond, which possibly you might face interest rate. Because remember, the dynamics on the interest rate won't wait for you as you take that decision. So I would say that if you have the opportunity, then if the investor confidence is also high, why don't you take advantage over a longer term so that you bond the investor for all this long term? At the end of the day, you avoid the frequency that you go on the market to raise funds at what?
Higher
cost at any point in time. So, I mean, the decision to go for long term, in a way, I believe that it will benefit the nation at large. So, I'm looking at it from that perspective.
I
believe that the long term will really help the nation.
Doc, we are very, very grateful for your time on our show tonight. Dr. Lord Mensah is a senior lecturer at the Department of Finance, University of Ghana Business School. Some of your text messages. Eja Norbert Wasakwabin, Amenfi West, says, District, if the minority in Parliament say they are afraid of the said bonds, they are right. Don't you think all these debts shall affect the country in the future? Akoto Razak Tamale, the impact of tourism can only be historic, the historic event, but not the structure itself. Monica Cons, Navrongoza George, the tourism minister, Madam Katrina Feku, has said it all. We should all cherish and hold in high esteem the beautiful Made in Ghana goose. We believe in Ghana because there is no place like home. The patronage of Made in Ghana products by President Akufo-Addo and some of his ministers is a sense of honor to improve our internal production. Pegla Jr. was sent in that. George, I need your personal line. This is your brother Emmanuel from Yerpem. So Behind the News is a good show. Congratulations to the president of for his AU Champions Award. This one is coming from Mohammed Inyendi. George, my deepest condolence to families of those who perished in the Galamsey pit. Monica again in Navrongo. President Akufo-Addo and the NPP government are doing their best to bring the economy back to life. Jake, NSIA in Kaliu. Razak from Bulung Kumbungu District, NPP SMS group organizer. President Akufo-Addo will surely move Ghana forward. Abdullahi Elias, Minister in Zantana, Tolon District. I think the decision taken by the Tourism Ministry to improve the fashion and the sector is a good one. Mustafa Tamale, Secretary, NPP SMS Group. The introduction of Friday Wear is a step in the right direction to encourage local industry. And Latu Ben Inwazes, in fact, the Ministry of Tourism is doing well. Let us all support that. Thanks for your text messages. Unfortunately, our time is up. My producers, Sibi Bangu Ikela, Setia, John Pobi, Sewell, Nana Majikum, and Philip Boateng. Sound engineers have been Nana Oseya Kosa and Enoch Walker. I am George Asikri. Good night.